Pontius Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou seest." So I titled this message, "Who is Jesus?" And we reply, "That's our king." There are prophetic validations that Jesus is the Son of God, so that without any shadow of doubt, because God declares the things that are in the future before they come to pass. And he even declares things that we did not know in our eternal past. He makes it known to us because his name is the Ancient of Days. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rock of ages. He never dies. He's eternal God. In Isaiah 7:14, he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son or a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is 700 years before Jesus burst the skies. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Is at Bethlehem, saying where the Messiah will be born. "Of Judah, although you are the smallest among the tribes of Judah, but out of you shall come he who is going to rule the nations, who is from everlasting." Prophet Isaiah prophesied again. In 9 verse 6, he said, "Unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the government of the world shall be upon his shoulder." And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he reminded them again of these prophecies. He said, "God, who at sundry times in Hebrews chapter 1 and in divers manner spake unto the fathers through the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us through his Son, by whom he created the world, who being the brightness of his image and upholding an express image of his personality and upholding all things by the word of his power." That's why we have no shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ, who was portrayed in the tabernacle as the Lamb of God, that when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus knew his assignment, that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. But today, Christmas has become secularized, commercialized, canalized, and whatever you can say of it, apart from being spiritualized. Christ is not just God to be celebrated, but God to receive. In the entire facet of life, society, family, work, and psychology, Muslims celebrate Jesus because they don't understand. Hindus celebrate Jesus because nobody can be oblivious of his Messiah, of the Savior. Scientists celebrate Jesus. Wise men celebrated Jesus, and they see celebrating, philosophers celebrate him. Jews celebrate him. Occultists and witches, it's supposed to be in our society. Christmas has won all the laurels. Economically, Christmas time is the time that the whole world has the highest sale. Petroleum sale, houses, real estate, all kinds of properties, gold bars, and Dow Jones stock, and all kinds of blue chip company stocks has not rivaled the sales of the period of Christmas. Every year, in every country, sales peak at the time of Christmas, making a statement that the world, whether we like it or not, must celebrate the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we must bring Jesus back to our homes. When you go back home, look at your home, your celebration of Christmas. If Jesus is not there, bring Jesus back to the celebration. Tell the children the stories of Jesus, how Jesus was born. Don't just tell them about Santa Claus. I've told you, please restrict movement. Bring Jesus. Jesus is not Santa Claus. Many children think Jesus is Father Christmas. That's why when they grow up, they won't come to church anymore. They want to go to the grotto of Father Christmas. And after they exchange gifts, they eat one or few pieces of turkey. And they come back home and they say, "We've Happy Christmas." Celebrating Christ. Christmas without the Christ. Who is Jesus to the children? Today I'm going to expose to you who Jesus is to the four facets of society. The children, to the ordinary man, to the philosophers, and to the theologians. Now let's deal with Jesus to the children. Children, Christmas is not Santa Claus. Santa Claus is Saint Nicholas. This started somewhere in Turkey in those days when the church was still on fire. Saint Nicholas used to love children, and he gave them gifts. He carried them across, the particular bridge, and he gave to the poor. And so Saint Nicholas transformed to Santa Claus. So listen to this. The difference between Santa Claus and Jesus. Children. Santa lives in the North Pole, in the snowy, icy regions, but Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides a sleigh, but Jesus rides on the wind and walks on water. Children, are you hearing me? Santa appears once a year at Christmas, but Jesus is an ever-present head. He's everywhere. He's present. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Santa fills your stockings with goodies, but Jesus supplies all your need all the time when you talk to him. Children, are you hearing me? Santa comes down your chimney uninvited, but Jesus knocks at the door of your heart and enters only when you say yes. He's a gentleman. You stand in the line to see Santa Claus, but Jesus answers you whenever you call. Santa does not know your name unless you tell him, but Jesus knows who you are even before you were born. He called you by name. Santa's little helpers make toys, but Jesus makes and mends new lives. He heals broken hearts. He repairs broken homes and has built a mansion for everyone who loves him. Children, are you hearing me? Santa places your gifts under the Christmas tree, but Jesus became a gift for us by dying on the tree. On top of the tree, not under the tree. He's a gift. Jesus himself is a gift. You don't have to place him under the tree. He hung on top of the tree so that we might have life, so the whole world will see him in a hill or mountain called Mount Calvary, that we might have life. That's why he came, children. Come on, children. Can I have an hallelujah from you, children? Come on, shout hallelujah, all the children. All the children of God in the house, shout a big hallelujah. To the ordinary man, Jesus was born in a manger. To identify with his humble ministry of stooping to conquer, he was rejected in the inn as a sign that the world will reject her king. He turned water into wine so you can have joy and celebrate. Jesus loves parties. Those of you who think Jesus is somebody who is just uptight and so spiritual that when you move your leg, he will flog you. Jesus went to a party and he turned water into wine so the people will be glad and rejoice. Jesus is the joy of our heart. Can I have an amen? He raised the dead so we won't die anymore to give us eternal life. He healed the sick to show us he's the creator and he came to give life. He multiplied 5 loaves and fishes so to tell you that he takes care even of your tummy. He multiplied, he caused a great drought of fishes to show you he can prosper you in your business. He cast out devils to show you he has power over Satan. He rose from the dead to show you that death has been swallowed up in victory. He filled us with the Spirit to show us that we are his temple. He was crucified, died and buried to redeem us from sin. God raised him to justify us. And he has become first begotten from the dead. And that's why we know this is not the only life that we are living. There's going to be another life after we share this physical body. That's why Jesus came. Who is Jesus to the theologian? In Genesis is the beginning. In Exodus is our redemption. Leviticus is our high priest. In Numbers is our protector when we're in the wilderness. Deuteronomy puts us in remembrance of his commandments and his promises. In Joshua, he brings down every wall in our lives. In Judges is the merciful judge. In Ruth is the God of all grace. In 1 Samuel is the one who kills our giants. In 2 Samuel is the King of Kings. 1 Kings is the God who answers by fire. In 2 Kings is the miracle worker. 1 Chronicles is the stability of our times. In 2 Chronicles is the prayer answering God. In Ezra is our restoration. In Nehemiah is our reconstruction. Esther, he turns around our captivity. In Job, he blesses us even in suffering. In Psalms is our praise. In Proverbs is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes is our human wisdom. In Songs of Solomon is our lover. In Isaiah is the Prince of Peace, is the Messiah. In Jeremiah is heal the backslider. Lamentations, he weeps for the lost. In Ezekiel is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. In Daniel, he reigns in all kingdoms. All kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. In Hosea is the bridegroom. In Joel is the giver of his spirit. In Amos is our agreement and our revival. In Obadiah is our deliverance and holiness. In Jonah is merciful on the Gentiles. In Micah is our conviction, now vengeance. Habakkuk is our faith. In Zephaniah is our joy. He sings over us with joy. In Haggai is the temple rebuilder. Zechariah is the defender of Israel and restorer of Jerusalem. In Malachi is the God of open doors. In Matthew is the king. In Mark is the servant. In Luke is the perfect man. In John is the Son of God. In Acts is the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he justifies us. First Corinthians is our order. Second Corinthians is our qualifier. Galatians is our liberty. Ephesians is the earnest of our inheritance. Philippians is the joy of our soul. Colossians is the head of the body. First Thessalonians is the soon coming king. Second Thessalonians is the soon coming judge. First Timothy is our mentor. Second Timothy is our doctrine. In Titus is the bishop of our soul. In Philemon is our reconciliator. In Hebrews is our high priest. In James is our faith. First Peter is our suffering in glory. In Second Peter is true knowledge. First John is our Lord. Second John, our truth. In Third John is our practical truth. In Jude, he edifies us by spirit. In Revelation is the Alpha and the Omega, is the beginning, the ending, is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is Jesus to the philosopher, to the governor, to the people of the earth, to the academicians, to rulers? I quote Dr. S.M. Lockridge in his sermon in Detroit, 1976, in a message titled, "That's My King." He says, is the sevenfold king, is the king of the Jews, king of Israel, is the king of righteousness, is the king of glory, is the king of the ages, is the king of heaven, and is the king of all kings. It's the sevenfold king. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. Heavens declare his glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. I'm quoting Lockridge. He's imperially powerful, impartially merciful. He's the sinner savior. is the centerpiece of civilization, is the highest person in philosophy, is the fundamental person of historic theology, is the miracle of all ages, is the only simultaneous supplier of all needs. He meets everybody's needs at the same time. Is the king of knowledge and wisdom. Is the pathway of peace. Is the doorway of deliverance. Is the roadway of righteousness. Is the highway of holiness. Is the gateway to glory. Is more than a conqueror. Is overseer of our overcomers. Is the king of kings. Is the lord of lords. His promise is sure. His goodness is unlimited. His mercy is everlasting. His love is unquenchable and unconditional. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is incomprehensible, invincible, and irresistible. Heaven of heavens cannot contain him. You cannot explain him. You can't get him off your mind. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Pharisees could not stand him and they could not stop him. Pilate and rulers could not find any fault in him. Witnesses could not agree against him. Death could not handle him. And the grave could not hold him. He has no predecessor and will not have any successor. There's nobody before him and none after him. You cannot impeach him nor make him to resign his position. He is the king of power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, is the amen and is the yea and the amen. End of quote. Who is this Jesus to you? Let us rise up. Begin to thank him today. Oh, Shatalama. Begin to thank him. Begin to glorify his name. We give you praise. The Lord of Lords. The Alpha. We cannot live without him. You cannot reject him. You cannot outlive him. He's everlasting. His truth is enduring. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer of our souls. The bishop of our souls. You cannot deny him. If you deny him, you cannot do without him after you die. His name is Jesus. He's the king of all kings. He's the judge of all nations. He's the governor of all souls. His name is first. He's the last. He's the beginning. Everything begins with him. Everything got to end with him. Without him, we can do nothing. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jehovah El Shaddai. Jehovah Nissi. Jesus. Jesus the Messiah. The one whom we celebrate. The one whom the world celebrate and they don't know. He's all powerful. The Pharisees could not impeach him. Oh, they could not deny. Witnesses could not agree against him. Oh, death could not kill him. The grave could not hold him. His name is Jehovah. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's our redemption. The pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, is your high priest. He's the it brings down our walls. Oh, he's our justifier. He's the quickening spirit. He's the baptizer in fire. Oh, he's the one who calls down fire. His name is Jesus. He's the judge of all. We cannot live without him. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Everyone quiet. Everyone quiet. If there's